Request Brian to flag the agenda for today. All right, so colleagues, this is the agenda. It's mainly DMV matters. We'll conclude by
recording in progress.
Our oversight report. And then immediately thereafter, the outstanding minutes. So this is the agenda for today. So let me welcome all of you to this meeting. And on behalf of the committee, I welcome the Director General of the Department of Military Veterans. She is leading a delegation of, let me just see, the team that the DG is present here with. It's Mr. Siango, the Chief Director of Policy and Research, Ms. Zed Kasamba, Acting CFO, Ms. Nklabati, Risk Manager, and Mr. Mofumadi, Audit Manager. Yeah, welcome to you, DG and the team. And then I also wish to register the apology from the Minister of Defense. She is held up. So the report, the apology is in writing. Let me just look at the apology. Okay, so she is at the Presidential Economic Retreat in Limpopo. It started on the 30th. So that's where the minister is at the moment. May I check if there are any apologies, Brian?
There are no other apologies, sir.
No other apologies, Brian. Okay, thank you so much. DJ, besides the apology that I've just recorded, is there any other apology? This is any other apology from the side of the department? Okay. All right. It doesn't look like there's any apology, and I recognize the Deputy Minister and welcome him to, I welcome him to the meeting. Good morning, DM.
Chairperson, good morning, and to honorable members of the Oversight Committee, good morning.
Good morning, thank you so much, DM. All right. Next, I'm not going to waste much time. As I said, it's all DMV matters, starting with the presentation on the audit committee and the internal audit challenges and other related matters, and then followed by the presidential task team report, just progress report, and then the progress with the amendments to the Military Veterans Act and the Military Veterans Benefit Regulations. the three issues, essentially interconnected, especially the last two, the progress report on the work of the presidential task team, as well as the military veterans, amendments to the Military Veterans Act, and the military veterans benefit regulations. Now, without much ado, I will welcome the minister, who will just give us his remarks on all three matters. Okay? On all three matters, and then thereafter we'll invite the department to take us through each one of them. DM, over to you, sir.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, thank you for the opportunity to present the work of the Department of Military Veterans to the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans this morning. The DG of the Department of Military Veterans is in attendance with some of the officials of the department who will help to share information on the items on the agenda. Before we commence with our presentations, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, I want to plead for an extraordinary accommodation by the Portfolio Committee with respect to item 3 on our agenda, which is a briefing by the DMV Audit Committee and also a report from the internal audit of the department. The DMV Audit Committee is an area of the department's work, which the last time the audits were discussed in February was not meant. The committee was not full strength. The audit committee of the department was not full strength. The situation has not changed as we speak. However, the adverts for the posts of the audit committee of the department were out in the month of May. And we hope to have the audit committee of the department established up and running at least within the coming weeks. And we are looking at possibilities of getting this committee working within the next 2 months. And it is because of the absence of an audit committee of the department that the ministry felt that we should not proceed with this item on the agenda because there will be a problem in that the report to the audit, to the oversight committee will not be from the people who professionally and conventionally must be the ones who are presenting the state of health of the department. Nobody else can present that report to the audit to the oversight committee, but the audit committee of the department. Secondly, honorable members, when we prepared for this meeting, we also established that in the department, the Internal Audit Control Committee had no functionaries to prepare a presentation to this meeting. honorable members would recall that the last time we talked about these matters, we indicated that the department has since appointed the head of internal audits to act as the CFO. And in her responsibility, they had an acting head of audits. And the acting head of audits is Mr. Mufumadi, who it turned out that was reported to be on sick leave for 21 days. And therefore, leaving the function without an official to prepare for a presentation to this meeting today. And it was for that reason that the interventions of the DG to have the presentation done by other officials in the department, that intervention, we felt it was inappropriate because the officials who were to make that presentation were themselves the objects of the internal audit in its work, because they belong to programs and they lead programs in the department that are themselves, you know, the subject of the audits that we are talking about. And it was for that reason that we felt that conventionally and professionally, it is a conflict of interest for the report on audits of the department to be presented by the people who have been, you know, audited or whose work is, you know, controlled by the audit committee itself. Our plea to the oversight committee is that we be allowed to come back with the reports on the audits of the department, with the report of the audit committee that is in office and that is in place and that is working, but secondly, that we have a report of the internal audit committee of the department presented by people who are responsible for the audits of the department. I'm aware that what we are pleading for does you know, interfere with the program of the oversight committee today, but we plead that this item out of the three be accepted, that it should stand down until we have proper reports to the committee ready and for discussion. That is our request, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members from the Ministry with respect to this item. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. That's a request. Do we grant the request, colleagues? Any comment?
Chair?
Yes, Ms. Lekhwase?
The request is granted, Chair, but I would request that because we got the agenda before today's meeting, the ministry next time must write a formal letter to the chairperson of the portfolio committee stating reasons as to why we should scrap items of the agenda. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, you grant it with that proviso. Thank you so much. Any other? Okay, it doesn't look like there's who's that?
It's myself, Chair.
Mr. Mutle, Honorable Mutle.
Thank you, Chair.
You may go ahead, sir.
Myself.
How about you?
You may go ahead, sir.
Yes, I want to support the Honorable Lukhwase with the proviso that a time frame be agreed upon as to when Are they coming back to report? Because this is an important item that we have identified as the portfolio committee as a weakness within the department. Therefore, it should not fall off the cracks. We need to also agree on a date when possibly are they going to come back and report on the matter. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. So that's the second rider. So the first rider is that in future, when there is a request like this, we prefer that we be given proper notice so that we have it in writing ahead of the meeting. I think that is fair. And then the second one is that we have a clear timeline when we would have this matter back on the agenda. The minister, the DM says they will have the body up and running by August. That is in 2 months' time, July, August. So obviously DM will then place it on the agenda for September month. That if I go by what Honorable Motley is suggesting. All right. So the sector of the committee is making note of that. Mr. Shilembe.
My hand was not up, Chairperson.
Oh, your hand was not up. I believe I exhausted all the hands on this matter. Okay, there is no objection. All right, so that's how we conclude the first matter. Colleagues, I'm not going to summarize it again because I've already done it. We can then DM move to the next two items. Over to you.
Chairperson and honorable members, thank you very much for the understanding of the committee to the plea by the ministry to have the item 3 on the agenda to stand over. The remarks of the committee are noted and are taken to heart. It was indeed a huge inconvenience when we only discovered a day before that the audit committee functionaries, internal audit committee functionaries were not available. And we will ensure that the next time we encounter such a problem, we timely write to the committee to indicate the challenges that we have. With that said, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I would ask the DG to come in and speak to the report on the progress of the work done by the Presidential Task Team. But before the DG takes the floor, Honorable Chair, I wish to indicate that the Presidential Task Team, as Honorable Members may have taken note, has been at work primarily to engage with the constituency of military veterans in our 9 provinces. The Deputy President has been pushing very hard to get us to complete the visit to the provinces. What has happened is that in this visit, already what was exposed was the weakness of the work of the work streams under the Presidential Task Team. And the weakness primarily and most importantly has been the poor participation of the provinces in the work streams. And this got exposed as we were visiting the provinces to the extent that one of our visits had to be abandoned in the middle of the meeting because of those poor preparations. We are supposed to go back to that province actually on Thursday this week, which is the province of the Northwest. So I wish to place on record that the visits to the provinces are indeed gaining traction, or are making the presidential task team to gain traction in that the solutions to improve delivery to military veterans that must happen is now being attended to, and the province's participation in the work of the department is growingly becoming a reality, and it does help the department's responsibility to improve in reaching out to our military veterans. The matter about the pension that we are supposed to be paying out is what we assist with, the department together with the government, the GPA, government pension, agencies. They are busy working out the administrative and the legal arrangements that we must have in place before work can commence in rolling out this pension. But I must say to the committee that the presidential task team has made us achieve what was going to take a very long time for the department to deliver on, because members would be aware that there are a number of benefits, and the pension benefit is one of them, which the department is not implementing, is not rolling out, because the size of the budget that the department has been functioning with has never allowed the department to implement these some of these benefits. And it is the political intervention of the presidential task team that at long last there is now movement in some of these areas where the benefits were not implemented. With that said, honorable members, I would invite the DG of the department to present the report.
Thank you very much. DM, so that I don't have to call you back again, can you deal with, introduce the issue on the amendment as well, so that we'll then launch into the discussion immediately after the DG's presentation, if you may do that.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. With respect to work on the amendments to the Act, we have requested assistance, and from the report the department has shared with us is that the two officials were forwarded by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development to take responsibility for the processes of amending this Act, because as we speak, the department is still without a legal functionary within its management. This has affected the timelines in which, or within which, we had planned to have these amendments dealt with, and most importantly, brought to Parliament, piloted in Parliament. Work is awaiting an indication by these two officials from the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, an indication from them as to their readiness for us to commence with the program that we had set for ourselves firstly, to take the amendments to the community of military veterans through their associations, and to confirm the acceptance of the changes and to hear their inputs, and from there proceed to table the amendments to cabinet or in cabinet, and with cabinet having expressed a view on the amendments, table them in pilot them in parliament. So we are waiting to get an indication of the readiness of the team for us to confirm the new schedule of the process that we are going to go through in amending this, in amending the act. That is what I can share with the committee members. If the DG has further details with respect to this matter, I hope she will be able to add to what I have said. Thank you very much, Chair.
No, thank you very much, DM. I think we are done with you, at least for now. I will then invite the DG to give us the presentation on the two matters. The first one is on the progress made by the presidential task team, and then the second one, just to say if she has any comment on what you've just said in relation to the amendment or proposed amendments to the Act. DG, I now invite you to take the platform.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My apologies, my network has been unstable this morning. Greetings to the members and greetings to the Deputy Minister of Defence and Military Veterans. In terms of what has already been presented by the Deputy Minister, I concur with also the first presentation in relation to the status of audit in the department. As we all know, this is a time of audit, of course, for all departments, including ours. And we, I think, well ahead in supporting the process. And we, at least quite comfortable that the unit is also cooperating. Two people are there. It's risk manager and internal audit that is acting currently. And they are supporting the process, because we must submit, as per the deadlines, the issues of the annual financial statements. So indeed, there are two people that are assisting us fully in that unit. And we are quite mindful of the fact that we shouldn't be represent players. Hence, we have confined the work of the audit to those two people. We cannot have a situation that we have a conflicted activities that are happening in the department. Two people that are here in terms of their names is Ms. Ntlabati and Mr. Mafumadi, who have to work hard to ensure that all the financials that are submitted are also in a credible format. Thank you very much for the presentation done by the DM, and we'll ensure that we work hard to appoint the new audit members in the time frame that has been presented. Coming to the comments done by the DM, I think I support the process in terms of the progress with regards to the Military Veterans Amendment Act. Indeed, we are currently ensuring that broader also consultation is happening to ensure that everybody is aware about the process that is going on in terms of the bill being amended. We still welcome inputs from people and from the constituencies as well. And we will be moving with the framework that is going to guide us towards gazetting and ensuring that the whole process goes to cabinet. And I also concur with the comments of the Deputy Minister. Coming to the progress report on the Presidential Task Team report, I think I would not be getting deeper into the issues. Safe to say that indeed it began with the 7 work streams, and we are still working through those work streams. The quite crucial work stream that has made some progress. I think that is important for me to share in the committee. Of course, it is the verification and the database work stream, which is also currently working in Limpopo at the current present moment. And it has made a lot of progress in terms of ensuring that all applicants have been attended to and they've been interviewed. And the work that they are doing migrates back into the departmental database to ensure that we are having a credible database going forward. I think that's one work stream that has also made progress out of the 7 work streams. The other work stream that has also made progress is the work stream on the socio-economic work stream that has dealt with the issue of the pension. I think that the pension has traveled quite a journey to where it is today, and it has been approved by the Deputy President. We are currently, as a department, working on internal administrative matters, as it has been raised, whereby we are forging our MOU with the GIPA, which is going to be the institution assisting us in the payments. And also a letter has been written to the minister to submit to the Minister of Finance in terms of concurrence on the threshold that has to be paid to the military veterans. I think that's where we are in terms of that work stream. And the next work stream that is currently also making some progress in the work streams that were designed by the presidential task team, it is the work stream on the heritage memorialization work stream, which has also taken up some work, which is looking at the issues of repatriation and the issues of ensuring that all the fallen heroes that were outside of the country are beginning to be brought back into the country. With regards to the plan of that work stream, it is intended also for us to go around and ensure that we are able to talk to these different countries, as we have also picked up that some of the countries have made monuments with in terms of the graves of those fallen heroes. That work stream is working very closely with the department in ensuring that we're able to achieve that the task that has been set up for us. The work streams also, I think it's important for me to use the work streams to report. It's going to be the easiest thing for the committee to be able to capture the progress. The work stream that was also established is the organizational design work stream. The organizational design work stream is the one that has to deal with the structure of the department. And currently the organizational design work stream, it is having some challenges, as it also has to work with the new bill. And also we also had to work with the departmental colleagues, and we also have to work with the DPSA in ensuring that we are able to come up with a credible organogram. There were recommendations that were done internally during our internal departmental meetings that we must also appoint a professional organizational design company that can assist us in supporting also the organizational design of the department. That is also work in progress in terms of the appointment of the company, as we have not made the appointments to date. In terms of the other work stream, the socio-economic work stream, which includes the projects of education, skills development and empowerment and health, there's been progress, Chairperson, in that work stream. The work stream has been assisting the department in terms of looking at the thresholds of the bursary support of the department. Engagements were done with Treasury in terms of looking at how we are linked to the thresholds of other institutions, as our threshold that we're paying to the military veterans was seen to be quite low, and we have not done any benchmark over a period of time. The benchmark was done and the proposal was submitted to Treasury for to look into it. And Treasury assisted us to say, yes, we can be able to look into the threshold in terms of the CPI and there was a proposed amount to be provided to the military veterans in the new financial year. That submission will be also pronounced by the ministry as soon as there's concurrence on the threshold. Definitely the military veterans will be having an increased threshold in terms of the bursary support from grade 7, from grade R to grade 7, grade 8 to grade 12, and also for the tertiary. The tertiary will also be aligned with the threshold that is also given by NEFSAS. The department also provides bursary support to the physically challenged and community of our military veterans, and the schools that they are attending are also paid for by the department through this bursary support. I think it's also important for us to share within this work stream some progress that has been done in terms of skills development and empowerment. The department has embarked on a program with the State Information Technology Agency, which is CETA, to ensure that we automate the programs of the department and all the functions of the department. But parallel to that, it's got other two legs, which also involve the capacitation of the military veterans themselves and the capacitation of the DMV staff, and to ensure that as we are moving towards automating the department, there's a smooth transition from the manual functioning of the department into a technological managed department. There's been a lot of progress in that regard, as military veterans have been trained in different provinces through the partnership of CETA and NEMISA, utilizing the universities as hubs where this training is happening, so that the military veterans can be able to be exposed to the computers, which is one of the important, crucial aspects of the training. To date, we have trained a total of close to 1,000 military veterans in this area. Chairperson, we are also not leaving out other training in the department. In relation to the training of security in the Western Cape, of course, military veterans, 149 of them graduated on the security training, which is linked to the PRASA, the Safety Security Program, and the military veterans are currently employed. The department is also working with PRASA to ensure that the project is rolled out at a national level. In terms of the work stream, the same work stream, which talks to benefits, getting into housing. To date, Chairperson, the housing is quite a challenging area. To date, we have provided close to about 2,131 military veterans have been provided with housing during the period dating back from 2015 to 2022. Gauteng is the one province that is accounting for most of the houses that have been provided to military veterans. The province that is also challenging in terms of the provision of housing is the KZN. Is one of our provinces that we are having challenges in terms of housing, and also in the Northern Cape, we have a very little number of housing that has been provided, and we are looking at ensuring through these presidential visits, we're able to establish what exactly the challenges are and how can the department improve those.
Have I lost the DG? Shilembe, I can't hear you. Maybe the problem is on my side.
No, I'm also, experiencing the same. I can't see, the DG.
Okay.
This has disappeared.
Yeah, I think we lost her. Mm-hmm. Jay, are you back? So she seems to have exited. Perhaps she's trying to rejoin us.
She's trying to rejoin. Okay.
All right, so we will wait for her. Is the PLO of the ministry in the meeting? I'm looking on attendance. DM.
Chairperson, I am not sure. I've looked at our panels of those who have logged in.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like he is here, but we do have the advisor to the minister in attendance. I am sorry, and we apologize for that collapse of the connection of the DG.
Okay.
Mr. Siengo from the department, who is very much involved in this reports of the department, is still in the house.
In the house.
I don't know if Mr. Siengo, you would want to come in and round off the presentation that the DG was making from your side.
Yes, Mr. Siengo, maybe just check how far is the DG is. And that if you are comfortable to deal with the last leg of the teacher's presentation, then you may take us through. Because she did indicate earlier that she had an unstable connection. I share the sentiment of the DM that in the event that persists, then she is back. I thought I saw her. The reason I asked if the PLO was in the meeting, his name is Sonele Monagala. I was going to ask if he could quickly check what the problem is, but the fellow is not in the meeting. And DM, it's a PLO, parliamentary liaison officer. There was a reason.
That's it.
There was a reason it starts with parliamentary. And so it means that he, once he works for the department, but he's deployed on the other side to be a link, you know, between us and the department. So expect the fellow to be in attendance in all meetings, in fact, where the committee is.
Indeed, Chair, that's what she's paid for.
That's what she's paid for, parliamentary liaison office. Mutumi, please convey the message. I know you're a special advisor, but I'm sure you can just quickly talk to the sector to say we are complaining that we are not receiving a service from the fellow. Not just the presence in the meeting, but this also shows itself up when we have to discuss matters that we think should have been cleared even before we bring them up in the meeting, like the receipt of documents, late arrival of documents. There's a trend now where presentations no longer come to us a week before the meeting. They come few days before the meeting, in some cases on Monday.
Colleagues have not complained of that, but it's starting to become a pattern. The rule is that presentations must reach the committee at least 7 days before the committee meeting. But the fellow is not here to receive this information, if that could be conveyed to him. But that is in not a reflection on your meeting, DM, not on this meeting. I'm just talking in general. I think the DJ is back.
Indeed, Chairperson, Deputy Minister and members, I'm back. My network is just unstable this morning.
How far are you to the end? I thought you were nearing the end.
I'm nearly at the end. I was just on the health part of the work stream. I think the health part of the work stream, the only challenge there is that, which will definitely be addressed through the bill, is the issue of the beneficiaries are not accommodated within the services and the benefits that we're giving. We're only providing it to the main members. And I would like to end the progress report with regards to the presidential task team that was requested from the department. I thank you, Chairperson. I thank the Deputy Minister and the members for the opportunity.
Well, thank you very much, DG. And all right, now I open the discussion for the colleagues. I can see that Mr. Maro is not in the meeting. So I think this meeting is going to finish.
What's happening, Chairperson? What I'm trying to say, Chairperson, you're on record, Chairperson.
All right. So the colleagues that I want to speak is Mr. Shelembe.
I want to make a proposal, Chair.
Yes, sir.
I want to make a proposal that we allow the DG also to cover the presentation on the progress on the Military Veteran Act, and then we engage.
No, she did.
Maybe I missed out. I only heard the deputy minister earlier on. All right, it's fine. If she did, then it's fine.
She did, Honorable Mutle. So she started with the first item on the internal audit and the audit committee, moved to the amendments to the Act, basically concurring with what was presented by the DM, and then dealt with the progress report on the presidential testing. All right, colleagues, you understand my challenge that I cannot see the hands.
You can see Mark.
Okay. Can you look at the list? Whose hands are up?
Mr. Marais is behind you. He's got his hand up.
Oh, Mr. Marais is in the meeting. All right, yourself, Mr. Marais.
I'm checking on you. I'm checking on you, right?
I can't see that. All right. So it's Mr. Shelembe and then Mr. Mare in that order, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, maybe I'll need more clarity because I heard, the DG saying that, well, the issue of the database is like now it's been finalized, complete. But I didn't get whether she's saying in Limpopo or she's saying, nationally in all the provinces that the database has been finalized. And then two, Chairperson, I'm checking now one of the work stream that is socioeconomic support. With regard to the issue, of the pension, I've noticed, that is not clear about the allocation of funds should that program of the pension fund kickstart. So if maybe she can confirm that they are ready with the funds, because if I looked, I mean, at the APP, I didn't see, I mean, the funds, but I only, I mean, so, I mean, the increase, which, I mean, is like the normal, not that there's something new to come in. So now, if, I mean, she's saying they are ready, what's going to happen now if, I mean, my understanding is true that, I mean, I have not seen, I mean, the funds allocated for the pensions in this 22-23 financial year. Because we don't want, I mean, to say when this thing kickstart, and then you find, I mean, that there's no money, I mean, to pay the pensioners. It's going to be an embarrassment, I mean, to the department itself. And then, Chairperson, I'm checking because, I mean, she's saying they are like doing well, I mean, with, I mean, these, I mean, programs. But Chairperson, I'm checking the involvement of the South African Military Veterans Association, because that is the structure that is officially recognized by the department. Also, the South African Cape Corps Military Veterans Association, that is also, I mean, a structure that is recognized by the department. I'm checking now, I mean, if they say now they are finalizing, I mean, the issue of that database, what is their role? Because we don't want that at a later stage, they say now, you are saying you are done, but on their side, they still have some people that need to be attended. Now I'm checking, I mean, the coordination or the working relationship that they have with these associations, because it must be sort of an integrated system where, I mean, all, I mean, other stakeholders are given an opportunity to participate in finalizing that database. Chairperson, it's been a concern for years, I mean, and also myself, I think also you, Chairperson, you do have a concern. I'm not getting the clear picture now as to why, I mean, there is a slow pace, I mean, in KZN when it comes to the housing issues. You know, if maybe I can get the clarity, because, I mean, especially you, Chairperson, you are coming from there. I've noticed previously that there were sort of like military veterans in KZN, like trying to, you know, to disturb, you know, because they were saying they are not, I mean, being recognized. Maybe if we can get the clarity and see how can we help in that situation. It's a province where the chairperson is coming from, and the houses are not, I mean, accessible, I mean, to the military veterans. I think, chairperson, I will appreciate, I'm not happy at all when it comes to the issue that in that province, I'm not trying to be like I'm taking the side, but I mean, it's my home province and no, I mean, houses are being, I mean, given to the people. I would appreciate maybe Chairperson if, I mean, she can explain and what are the, I mean, possible solutions to ensure that, I mean, the issue of housing for military veterans in KZN are attended as a matter of urgency. Chairperson, I don't know whether maybe I'm like Honorable Mutle, because anyway, he called himself when you ask who, I mean, who, as he said, myself, he didn't say Mutle. I didn't, I mean, get well when it comes to the input or, I mean, code, or I don't know how to put it, but when the DG was presenting, I was expecting more when it comes to the Military Veterans Act, those amendments or something, regulations. But Chairperson, you have said, I mean, she has touched on it. But maybe for myself and Mutle to be assisted, I would appreciate maybe if she can also touch on that, because one may have some question if she is touching on the issue of the Military Veterans Act. That amendment, I think it's something that is very, very important, and it has taken long. We need to engage on it. I'm sorry if maybe she touched on it, but I request if she can, retouch on it. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
No, that's a fair request, it ties in with what Mose said earlier on. No, it's fine. We'll grant you. Welcome, Mr. Mare.
Thank you, Chair. I've been here about 20 minutes before the start of the meeting, so I've heard your comments. maybe you expect something else from me. I just want to say that I support Honorable Seleme in all these questions. Some of mine is addressed. I just want to know, with regards to the ministerial task team, that's now to the Deputy Minister, obviously this has created an enormous expectation. We have seen, a stream of inquiries from military veterans saying that, when can they receive this money? When will they get the pension? The expectation was created that, it will be rolled out immediately. As Honorable Shilembe said, where is this money going to come from? I want to know from the Deputy Minister and maybe the DG as well, how many military veterans have they identified who will be in line or at least apply for pensions? What is the pension structure? In other words, are everybody just getting a flat rate of pension per month? How much will that be? And how much has been, what is the calculation? How much will the total amount be to be added to the current budget so that, those expectations can be fulfilled? The criteria, what is the criteria? Is it only the fact that they must be registered on the database and they must apply for that? Or what are the other criteria? Because everybody is expecting that every military veteran that is identified in terms of the Act will qualify for that criteria, for that pension. And we must know whether they have interacted with National Treasury and whether that amount will be added to the medium-term budget process that will commence fairly early on. Then in terms of the military veterans benefits, first of all, I agree with the comments from Honorable Mutle and Shilembe with regards to the Military Veterans Act. That's been coming on for quite a while, from the time prior to the current DG. And this is taking very, very long, and it is becoming very frustrating, not only to the military veterans, but to us as well. I want to ask about specifically the medical benefits, because we get an enormous lot of inquiries from military veterans to access that benefit. Is that only from the military hospitals that they can access that benefit, or from any provincial or national health facility, being hospitals and clinics? And then from which budget will the medical cost be appropriated or paid? Will it be from the ordinary budget from military veterans, or is there a so-called medical fund or a pool of money identified and earmarked for medical benefits? And to what extent will that link to other people who have retired already and have medical benefits, whether that will be the same pool or whether there will be something else? Thank you very much, Chair.
All right. Any other hand, colleagues? Mr. Shilembe, I've you are my prefect. Can you, is there any other hand? Okay, it doesn't look like there's any other hand.
No, colleagues? Yeah, even Thabo Motle is gone now.
Oh, shame. No, his hand is, he has lowered his hand because I can, it's still on in the meeting. All right. Colleagues, these are the comments. Right, DM, sorry, DG, you have heard the questions. May I invite you to deal with them? But please deal with them in the context of what you are discussing in the presidential task team. Of course, there will be one or two issues that are, not part of the discussions, but that are your normal day-to-day work. Of course, you would still have to comment on that one. Over to you. Sorry, DJ, I'm trying to say separate the issues. You've heard the questions, but deal with them in the context of the discussion. And then, of course, the second part would be just to respond to those that are not in the discussion, but are part of a day-to-day work as the department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Am I making myself clear?
Yes, Chairperson, we will respond according to the guide you have given to us. Indeed, the members have asked us in relation to the work stream. Let me start with the database process. Chairperson, the process of the database verification is in progress. The current activities now are in Limpopo, but the overall picture is in this manner. There were a number of applicants that applied to be verified in terms of the database process, and the total applications that were processed were 3,743. In those applications, of course,
That is throughout the country.
Okay, sure. Throughout the country. The process is being done throughout the country. The team is moving around the country, as I was saying, that it's currently in Limpopo. And it's taking into consideration those applications that are being brought in, and they are able to interview each and every person and then provide the feedback. What I was trying to say was that process that is being done out there, as you were saying, that we must also show how it works within the department. It is linked with the database unit of the department. Because after that process has been finalized, those members must be included into the database. The database matter has always been a call by the military veterans. But I think through this work stream, which is going around the country, trying to address the matter, we are making a lot of progress, in spite of course of the capacity challenges within the work stream, which the department is also trying to assist and address, and ensure that also there is a budget for this work stream. So the issue of the database is still ongoing. It has not been finished. As I've just indicated, that the team is running the process in Limpopo at the present moment in time. In relation to the SAMBA and the associations, let me also say that the issue of SAMBA is currently working towards going to the conference. SAMBA is a very important stakeholder for the Department of Military Veterans. It was indicated that it should go to conference, and the department should support and assist SAMBA to go on conference so that it can be able to resume its activities of assisting all the associations that are under its umbrella. Currently, the SAMBA has not been given that opportunity due to the fact that the other associations were also building up their own processes, but I think most of them now have finalized their structures, and SANBA will be ready in due course to go to conference. We still are going to be advised furthermore in terms of the strategic direction by the Deputy Minister. But in terms of the department budget, we have budgeted for the activities of SANBA to go to conference as soon as those strategic interventions have been finalized. So the SANBA and the other associations that have been mentioned are, of course, in our books, and they are assisted by the department financially to do their activities, including the SA COPs that have been mentioned by the members. Then the issue of the housing provision chairperson, it is an issue that I think needs a lot of engagement, especially in the area of quickly identification of land. I think that's what I have picked up. As I indicated, that our Deputy Minister is also going around trying to establish what are the exact challenges. But from where we are sitting, the issue of identifying the land by the municipalities that needs to be allocated for the building of the military veterans housing is one area that needs to be addressed. And also, again, coming back to the issue of the database, it's one area that becomes a challenge when we have to ensure that the people that are going to be provided with houses must be on the database, and it must be eligible military veterans that have not received any support also in the past. Mostly, as we can see that most of our military veterans are really destitute, and those are the ones that need to be given priority. And the third area is, of course, that the human settlement is the custodian of the building of the houses, and the Department of Military Veterans does a top-up. And if the Department of Human Settlement has not built any houses in that particular year, it means the money of top-up will definitely be not be utilized, and it's quite a worrying factor. The speeding up of the housing program is quite crucial, and it's been a call right through a country. As we are crisscrossing the country, going with the Deputy President in Lagos, we have picked up that the issue of housing, it is a big cry. We are hoping that going forward, we can be able to find a solution, maybe a short-term, medium-term, and long-term solution. The more cry has also come due to the fact that we have had floods in the region of the KZN province, which has made things quite worse for our military veterans. And the officials that were there were going on their normal program, day-to-day program, which is to enhance and to look after the welfare of the military veterans. And during that program, they picked up that some of the military veterans now are more destitute due to the floods that have happened in KZN. It is I think the members that have said we need to think completely out of the box in dealing with the housing issue, looking at short-term, medium-term, and long-term. I really concur. Maybe to look at other options on how we can be able to accommodate our military veterans, or how we can be able to utilize our budget. It's something that we must engage. Without losing sight, Chairperson, that some of us have been sent to schools in England, in USA, in other parts of the world, we've seen that some of the resources that the countries are having, like old schools, old dilapidated universities, have been converted into apartments. And I'm talking about first world countries that have utilized their rationalized buildings to ensure that they accommodate their own people. It was just an example to share. If we are asked to say, what is it now that is at the short-term, medium-term, and long-term intervention, what can we do while we're trying to look at a proper model to deliver the houses to the military veterans? Indeed, in England, most of the dilapidated schools, dilapidated buildings, if we talk about integrated governance, they are talking to Department of Education to give us and make sure that we can be able to convert some of these institutions into flats, into apartments, as other countries have done, which are from the first world. I was just making an intervention where the member was saying we must also think broader and think of other interventions that we can do. It's one of the examples that I can bring forward. But for now, we are going with the process of working with human settlements to ensure that our military veterans are provided with the necessary accommodation that is suitable for them. In terms of the, I think the pension, I also have my colleague in the work stream that has been dealing with the pension, Mr. Siango, can come in and get into the other questions that have been raised in terms of how much and what is the total. But in terms of the overall budget that we are responsible for the department, money has been redirected to the socio-economic area. And during the 30th of April analysis by the researcher, it did confirm that we've redirected the funds into the correct mandate. And that's what the department has done during the submission of our APP. Mr. Siango, if you can assist in the area of pension and just be attending to the questions that were raised by the member and maybe give some little bit of insight. As the members have said, this is an area that was long awaited for. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mr. Siango, are you in the meeting? Did you manage to join the meeting?
Yes. Good morning.
Morning. Thank you.
Please be brief, because previously, was it in our last meeting, you did give us the figure. I think it's 4,900 something per month. How much? 4,900 and what?
That's the proposed amount, Chair, that still requires ratification.
Can I repeat that? 4,900
and 62.
And 62 rand.
Yes.
And that for those who are currently receiving a special pension, it will be a top-up. If bringing it to 4,962.
Correct, yes.
And that every year the money will be adjusted as with the adjustment to done to other pension also like social grants.
So correct, yes, sir.
All right. So I think that was covered previously. And I think the second part has been covered by the DG, that even though the money is not identified as pension, but is there, is provided for in the budget.
Yes, correct, sir.
And then maybe lastly, how much it would be, I know there would be a slow take up, you know, but at least you should be looking at the figure this year in this financial year. Have you started crunching the numbers as to how many you can absorb within the budget you have?
We've looked at the figures, Chair. It has come to about 1,500 for this current.
For this current financial year. Okay. All right, you can then deal with other issues surrounding this. I thought we should just focus on those areas that were not immediately apparent or clear.
Okay.
I think I've covered the issue on social pension. Colleagues, is there any other matter on social pension that you want them to cover?
Yeah, Chairperson.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes. You know, it's very, very difficult, to be told that some money will be, it's going to be an adjustment, that some money will be taken today. You know, because when it comes to the issue of adjustment, it means now you are going to take somewhere and put somewhere.
No. They are saying the money is already in the budget.
But the adjustment
I refer to is when there is the inflation-related adjustment that is done annually.
Okay. Chairperson, but they can't tell us, how much, is that, if they say the money, has been made available in that current, financial year, but they can't give us the figure how much, has been Is it 2,000 or 20,000? How much per person?
No, no, they say they can only accommodate 1,500 times 4,962. That's the figure they've budgeted for.
So the one that money is there?
Yes, times the number of months, of course. 1,500 times 1,500 times 4,962 times the number of months that the people will be on the system within this financial year. That's the budget they have set aside, at least for this financial year.
Okay. Now, thank you, Chair, on that. So maybe just a follow-up, Chairperson, I mean, about the issue, the houses. I'm worried, Chairperson, as she's saying, the military veterans will get the house when there is a housing project by human settlement. So that means now, if there is no, a project or housing project from human settlement, it means now we don't have to, nothing's going to happen. It's a worrisome statement, Chairperson, that because I don't know how can we work out on that one. But the issue of land, maybe one will understand, but if that relationship they are trying to build with local municipalities, for instance, in the country, we have a number of municipalities in the country, say about 278 municipalities in the country. Now, I'm trying to see now that engagement, what is that they're going to do to ensure that each and every municipality is aware, or, they will just choose the municipalities that they know. If I'm saying 278 municipalities, it means there are people everywhere in the country. We can't just say now, because the office is in Durban, and then other local municipalities are left nowhere. So maybe, Chairperson, if it's a challenge in the department that the human settlement is, the way forward, we need to talk about it to say we can't do nothing if the human settlement does not have projects in municipalities. Then the second one, Chairperson, just for clarity,
You are having a second bite. Why can't we let them conclude the replies on what you have presented in the first round? And if you are still not covered, I will then allow for the second bite, Mr. Shillen.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
I think they were still fielding their answers. Is the issue of pensions that was allocated to Mr. Siango to deal with, and the DG was going to come back and deal with the rest of the items. DJ, are you done? Or let me just check with you. Are you done, or are you still going to deal with some more?
Chairperson, with regards, I think, to the pension and the other matters of the database and SANVA, the allocation of funds for the pension, I think that's most of those areas were addressed. Where we still have a gap is within the area of housing. And I think our DM is beginning to assist us heavily in that area. As I said, that he's also going around into meetings to try and talk to the MECs and blocking the issues. Of course, when he's talking to the MECs of COPTA, it will be talking to the issues of land, how we are unblocking the land there to ensure that we have a proper identified land so that human settlement can be able to build. Hence, I was saying that I wouldn't go into that discussion at the moment. I think the DM can be able to assist the committee on some of the findings that he might have given. Although he said when he finalized this process, he'll be able to advise us as a department on how we can be able to move forward.
Issue of housing, would prefer to leave it to the stream to finalize it. Safe to say that there are these concerns that Mr. Shillenberg has spoken about.
Yes, sir.
And secondly, just as an addition that you must be considered by the stream, is that, in the province, in KwaZulu-Natal, they also build houses in the areas of Amakhosi, the traditional areas. Like, for instance, some people would say, here is my family support. My family support is in this area. And I need a house, but I don't have to go to town. If you can build me a house in this area, there is a site here. INCOS is prepared to give me, or a chief is prepared to give me a site, to build a house. and that too must not be ruled out, as because the KZN has started looking at that. I'm talking about the Department of Human Settlement, and should also be part of the things you are considering as you finalize it. Maybe let's leave it until you finalize that thing, and because now it's still work in progress. Am I correct?
Indeed, Chairperson, and I think that's the things that the DM is trying to assist us in unlocking, because you're quite correct. Those issues that you have raised have come up with the military veterans themselves to say where sometimes the land has been allocated for housing, it's far away from the support community that it's an environment that he might be familiar with. And I think these are the matters that our DM, when he picked that up, is trying to assist us and see how the policies can be able to be adjusted to talk to the situation that you've just presented, Chairperson. But I think the DM has not reached all the provinces. DM is in the meeting. He can be able to assist us in this regard.
No, that's fine. You may go ahead. If there is any follow-up, you'll hear when colleagues make their comments in the second round. You may just finalize the other thing. I think one last item, and it's the amendments to the Act. And I'm not too sure if there's any other, but you're taking notes.
Yes, Chairperson, the whole process of amendment of the Act and the work stream that is dealing with has had a lot, quite a lot of hiccups due to the instability of the internal DMV legal unit. But the workstream members are still available, who are assisting in ensuring that, of course, the issue of the Act is tabled in different platforms, where the military veterans can also be able to have access of the Act itself. And we are also encouraging the inputs through our provincial coordinators to bring together military veterans to discuss the gaps. As I have highlighted, one of the gaps in the Act is within the health benefits, where the health benefit is only supporting and accommodating the main member and not the beneficiaries. And that has been a call in the event that there's emergencies, only the main member gets attended and the members of the family are usually not attended. But we always try and find ways to ensure that that doesn't happen in a careless manner, as our government is a caring government. But that is one issue that has come up in terms of reviewing of the Act. Of course, there's other areas that has also emerged in the review of the Act. The area of identification of who is the military veteran. Who is the military veteran is the one area that has come up, is an area that has been also contested in terms of the old Act, and going into the new Act, I think it's something that will be brought forward by the members of the military veterans community. But I think the Act is also still going to be going the route of being gazetted, which is the formal route that goes to the public. But currently, internal members have also been looking into the gaps that are coming out of the old Act. I've mentioned in one area. And the other area that has also been a challenge, of course, is the pension. The pension has been done. The other challenge that has come up, of course, the issue of housing has also been a challenge in terms of the Act. And I think since the Act is going to review, the discussions that are coming now will be very useful in terms of going into the new Act. And this is where the Act is at the present moment. But in terms of presenting the benefits and all the other things that the military veterans have to get, it's still continuing as normal. And there's no stop in terms of providing benefits to the military veterans.
All right. Colleagues, are there any items that were issues that were not addressed? Mr. Mare, your hand is up.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much for the information. I just want to make sure that I understand it correctly. 1,500 military veterans, that's the number of who will get pensions, and the pensions will be 4,962 per month. That's obviously in a financial year, but it will be, I presume, a rolling one until the death of that military veteran. How will that 1,500, what will be the criteria? Is it first come, first serve basis, or is it specific allocations to specific provinces in terms of population or where military veterans are residing? So on what basis will that be? And then also just on the housing, as I understand the process of housing, it is a national department competency which is delegated to different provinces, and then the list for beneficiaries are taking place on local government level. So will houses be a statutory obligation of provinces and local governments to add military veterans, and specifically to provide for a certain amount of houses for military veterans, or will it be at the mercy of local governments and provincial governments? Because otherwise there will be an expectation for houses, and it's not really in our hands, it's not really in the Department of Military Veterans' hands to assure that they get houses. It's at the mercy of other people, and other people who are not part of this discussion. And that is my big concern, that there will be an expectation, but eventually we know, Chairperson, you and I know that on local government, the need for houses is so huge that I'm just concerned that the military veterans will not get their portion. Thank you.
Right, I want you to deal with that now so that we move forward to the next questions. DJ? Just those two issues, and then we move to the next colleague.
Chairperson, I think coming to the last part of the housing, the member that has brought up this issue, it is indeed, as we look at the picture, it becomes really quite complicated. It's two departments indeed. Chairperson, the member is quite correct, that are involved in the process. It will be DMV, human settlement, and therefore at the provincial level, the provincial government, and then there's municipality. And I think those are the things that our ministry, through the interventions that the Deputy Minister is going around and doing, is trying to look at. It is a cumbersome exercise. And also when there's a challenge
DJ, I thought you were saying, yes, it involves those two departments, but you remain a coordinating point. Because at first they must touch base with you just to check if the fellow is indeed on your database, one, and two, whether there is a budget, because you must top up.
Indeed, Chairperson, the list of the military veterans must be verified by us as a department to ensure that this is an eligible person to receive the house. And we oversee from the position of looking at the top up and the tendering process and all the other things that are related to the real building of the house happen at the human settlement department. Yeah. And I think those are the issues that have been picked up really by our Deputy Minister, and he's concerned about this area, that we are not able to shorten the process and ensuring that it happens with speed. And I think it's a process that we have to move and listen to the outcomes of the DM's interventions and going around to see what model can be best recommended for us to move forward. It is indeed a cumbersome exercise.
Okay. Then on the second point, the 1,500 that you can afford in this financial year is on a first-come, first-served basis. How are you going to go about it?
Not a person. There will be applications also submitted by beneficiaries.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay. No, sorry.
I've lost you, Chairperson.
people apply, they get processed, and
yes, Chairperson.
But your cutoff point is 1,500.
Indeed, Chairperson.
Okay, if there's more, you would then consider them in the following year.
Indeed, Chairperson.
All right. Okay, let's move to the next question. Colleagues, any other, please comment because I cannot see you.
Chairperson, I request the time frame because the issue of that there is a team in Limpopo right now. How long is going to take in Limpopo, that team that is, I mean, busy with the database registration? And then, because we have 9 provinces, we don't want them, maybe it takes maybe 5 months in Limpopo, but we want to know the time frames, how long it's going to take now to finish, I mean, the 9 provinces, whether this thing will be done within this year or within 6 months, at least we have a picture that there is a progress. Because I remember last time they spoke about...
No, you have covered the issue. You have covered... I need questions, not preamble. And I think the question is very clear, Mr. Mashalem. You can then deal with the second question. I'm saying this in view of the time. Remember, I'm now allowing you to say something and the department responds and then move to the next person. So if you allow further discussion, then it will eat into the time. I think your concern is your time frames. This thing can't go on and on and on. Even the task team can't go, the provincial task team can't go on and on and on. At some point, it must wind up and then give you the report so that you can then start to factor the outcomes into the, you know, implement the recommendations. Is there any other question, Sharembe?
Yeah, the second one, Chairperson. So it means now, when you speak, I mean, of the housing project, the department is just doing a top-up on those, because he said now they are just putting the top-up on what the human settlement is doing. So it means now the human settlement must build the house and the department comes and do the top-up, or the department has got full allocation for the military veterans, or the other money must come from the human settlement and they come the top up. I need the clarity.
The how part of it, okay? So they'll deal with it. How the money moves from DMV to human settlement to top up. Right, any other question? Any other question, colleagues, before I ask the department to come in?
Chair, mine is not a question as such. One is worried that in as much as they go province to province and the database is not yet completed, I am worried where I'm sitting about those that the veterans have passed on. They are beneficiaries. I'm just wondering how are they going to follow up on them and getting hold of them, because I know we have situations whereby there are those that do not know where to go, how to start, because those that had to be veterans are no longer living or they have passed on. Mine is just a worrisome factor. It's not much of a question.
Okay. No, thanks, Ms. DJ. I'm sorry that I did not ask you to deal with Chelembe before I move to Lekwase. Okay, you can deal with those two now.
Thank you, Chairperson. The way it happens, I think it is indeed the manner that the member has raised. The department will top up and transfer and through an invoice from Human Settlement that indicates they have built so many houses, and the department will take the invoice, pay the top-up, and then the human settlement will disperse the house to the member, to the military veteran. The department, under its budget, has got the allocation for the top-up in its budget.
Okay.
The member that is having a worry with regards to when the military veteran has passed on, what happens to the beneficiaries if the military veteran was not in the database? Indeed, that is a big gap, Chairperson, and it's the database verification workstream. It's looking at those matters, but also to speed up also the process that ensures that military veterans are also interviewed to be processed through our database. They are looking at finishing the work before the end of this financial year.
I think the question is
before.
Can the applicant be registered on the database posthumously for the sake of the defendants? I think that was the question, if I understood it well. Is that not the question, Mr. Kwasi? Because she's concerned about the descendants or the direct descendants when the military veteran is deceased before he was registered as on the database. Mr. Kwasi, was that the question?
Correct, sir.
Yeah. What is the process of getting the fellow registered posthumously?
Chairperson, I will not answer that one. Let me inquire.
Okay.
It is quite a difficult one. I will just have to inquire and come back with a response on how that process can happen.
Please do, because Mr. Kwasi is raising for the sake of the children, if they stood to benefit anything from the DMV, but for the deceased, but for the deceased, the fact that the dead or the mother or a parent is late. All right. Any other colleagues?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Sure, that will be inquired. Any other colleagues before we move on? I want to close this item now. All right. It doesn't look like there's any other comment. Colleagues, are you satisfied with that your questions have been answered? Shelembe, are you?
Chairperson, can I just say from my side, obviously there's a lot of uncertainty, but one will wait for the process to unfold, because I'm sure there will be some of these things will be addressed, while some, you know, might generate some more questions and concerns. The only thing that I think that one must take note of is that the expectations amongst military veterans are enormous. And most probably way more than what currently is provided for in the budget, and this 1,500 in terms of pensions. So the way that military veterans in general, and I'm talking about all military veterans, must just be handled with care and empathy and understanding. So there will probably be a lot of frustration among them. And, you know, we must treat them with dignity, because most of them are suffering in all spheres of the life today. And that is, you know, we have to enhance this, because 1,500 is just not enough. We know that for sure. And work must be done there, you know, so that we can get more money from National Treasury and assure that more will be getting pensions that they deserve. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mare, for your comments. Tabo, are you, Mr. Mocha, are you fine?
I'm good, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kwasi, are you fine?
She's happy.
You have a spokesperson lately. Okay, Mr. Shelembe, are you okay?
No, I'm okay, Chairperson. I'm okay.
No, thanks so much, Put. All right.
But not 100%. Until such time that military veterans are getting what they deserve.
Can you repeat that, Mr. Shelembe?
No, I'm not 100% happy until military veterans get what they deserve.
Okay. Right. No. Thank you very much. I think we shared that point, Mr. Shillem. Now, DM, you have listened to the call. I just allowed this conversation because I could get a sense that members wanted to have a discussion rather than a question and the answer type of a session. Because you have work streams that are already processing the matters. So I then consider this as input into that process as well. And I'm sure it was beneficial. I thought it was beneficial indeed. I mean, the question that Mr. Kwase, for example, Mr. Kwase raised, it was not in my mind. And I'm happy that the DJ says, man, this requires, further examination. I was happy with that. Right, DM, you've listened to the discussion. And please, your final comment before we thank you and the team.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, thank you for the comments, observations registered by the committee this morning. Chair, the probing questions by honorable members are helpful to put the spotlight on a number of areas where solutions must be verified and we should establish certainty about what it is that we are saying is going to happen. I will just briefly touch on a few of the areas that were touched by members. There is something which Honorable Member Shilembe raised about the database and Military Veterans Association and the South African Cape Corps. I did not get the point exactly what it is Honorable Member Shilembe was concerned about. I'm unable to respond to that, even as I feel it is an important matter or an aspect that he was drawing our attention to. Let me just move on to say that the issue of housing, just for clarity, it is the case that the Department of Military Veterans is delivering houses to military veterans through the Department of Human Settlement. And the Department of Human Settlement in the provinces, the provincial departments of human settlements. And therefore, the delivery of housing has challenges of coordination between DMV and the provincial housing departments. And largely, the challenge has been that the Department of Military Veterans was alleged not to be providing the name list of the beneficiaries on time. And as a result, there would even be projects where units are released, but there would be lack of information from the Department of Military Veterans as to who the recipients of those units should be. So there is that problem. Just to say to Honorable Member Shilembe that the Department of Military Veterans does not have the capacity to take responsibility itself for projects of building houses for these military veterans. We don't have that capacity. We don't intend building that capacity because it's just going to be an onerous responsibility for the department to take over. So we deliver these houses through human settlement in the provinces. And yes, of course, for as long as in the province, in the majority of cases, this is what we are talking about, there are no projects, housing projects in the different municipalities, there will be no houses for military veterans. That is the logic. Because these housing units we have for military veterans, we have them within the projects, the housing projects that are there planned in the provinces and in the areas where the province itself has decided to have housing delivered. So that is why even the flexibility of taking these housing units to military veterans where they are needed, it's not as flexible on the part of DMV as it would have been ideally served military veterans. So we provide them where there are housing projects in the provinces. So it's set aside for military veterans in the housing that is happening in the provinces. The point about housing that we must just underline, of course, is that part of the things that we should be working on is to phase out the need for the Department of Military Veterans to transfer this top up to the Department of Human Settlements in the provinces, because in practice, these units are built and completed even before the Department of Military Veterans forward the top up amount to the delivering agents, which is the Department of Human Settlements in the provinces. So it is clear that we can find a way in which there is no transfer of any top-ups. The human settlement departments in the provinces should just build the houses according to their specification, and we find a way in which money is moved from the budget away from the Department of Military.
They must build and bill you.
Exactly. Build, and we must make sure that the money goes directly to them. It does not become part of the budget of military veterans, because it creates unnecessary administrative work. And that is why there are years where the Department of Military Veterans would sit with the money and spend, because there has been no claims from these provincial departments of human settlements when actually they have delivered houses. So it is that administrative, fine-tuning of delivery that the management of DMV should, spend time in clearing and working on. Moving on, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, I wanted to touch on just the issue of the pension at a high level. To just profile this, that this pension, Honorable Members, it's a pension, military pension, that will only be provided and targeting military veterans who were members of the Liberation Army, the non-statutory forces military veterans. The statutory forces military veterans of yesterday will not be getting this pension. And there is a clear logic to it. Because military veterans who were in SADF, who were in the TBVC state armies, as part of their employment condition, they had a pension that they would have left the system with. So to offer them a pension again through this instrument would actually create double dipping. So this military pension is intended for the military veterans from the non-statutory forces, because they were not gainfully employed and did not build pensions for themselves when they were in service. But even in relation to them, it is only those who are not receiving the special pension, because some of these military veterans from the non-statutory forces applied successfully for a special pension, and they are recipients of the special pension. If they were to get this military pension, of course, it would create a situation where it can be argued that they are benefiting twice. And it is for that reason that the policy of this pension says, if a military veteran from the non-statutory forces receives a special pension, he will only be entitled to get this military pension where there is a gap between the amount of the special pension that he is getting and what the military pension provides. He will be able to get the difference if what he is receiving as, from his special pension is below what the military pension offers them. So that, in short, is the cohort of military veterans who are going to be the beneficiaries of this military pension that we are talking about. The point, Chair, that we are talking, you raised, and rightfully so, about what is the situation in relation to this pension where military veterans have already passed on. Is this pension going to be available to beneficiaries, dependents of these military veterans? Now, here is the catch. The catch is that every legislation, as a matter of convention, that is brought into force, it is never done retrospectively. If this military pension was to be implemented retrospectively, then the population, the numbers of beneficiaries would not be the 1,500 that we are talking about. The number would be huge, and depending on how far back we go in years, we are going to have a different figure to work on, and the budget, of course, will therefore increase. So our understanding is that, like all legislation, it is never the intention of legislation when it is introduced to apply retrospectively, that this would also not be an exception. It is for that reason that there is therefore political pressure that we must make sure that we do everything, firstly, to finalize the verification of military veterans so that those who qualify for these benefits are loaded expeditiously, but also that this pension must be paid out as soon as possible. Because the longer we take, a month, a week, somebody dies, and he is going to be, his dependents are going to be deprived of the opportunity to receive this pension. That's what I thought I should just, highlight. In relation to housing in KZN, I would request the committee, without, endorsing what the DG is saying, that the interactions that my office is having with the provinces is going to assist, to endorse that that is the responsibility of my office, because it will be tantamount to delegating upwards. But I propose that we come back to the oversight committee after we have been to KZN. Our visit to KZN has been pushed back because of things that interfered with our plans. But the reason why KZN has been behind all of the 9 provinces is what we are unable to explain. I'm not happy with the information that I have. I've had some explanations from the officials of the department, but they are not adequate. They are not adequate to explain the phenomena of KZN. And I would appeal that you just give us time. We'll be going to KZN soon on this particular matter. What I know is that in KZN, there is also the housing is impacted upon by the verification of military veterans. There are a lot of military veterans who are not on the database because verification has not been provided there. and it is impacting on housing. There are people who need houses. They are not on the database and therefore procedurally cannot get houses. And so we got caught up in our own, tardiness as a department. But as I am saying, we would be able to explain what the challenges are, but most importantly, what is it we have agreed with the province to put in place in order to get the province to catch up with the rest of the other provinces with respect to housing. Chair, I beg to step down at this point with that said, but the comments and the remarks of the committee, they have been noted, and we'll make sure that we take them on board in the work that we do going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. There was a lot of information shared today, useful information, and thank you so much. And coincidentally, we are all on the same page, and we're discussing matters, and we agree that we need to speed up the process to deliver the services, long awaited services to the military veterans. I think they've been patient with us, and so I think I don't want to spoil the discussion. It looks as though we've diagnosed the problem very well, and the plans are being formulated to address the problem. But if we don't time ourselves very well when we want to have finalized the plans and start the implementation, will delay the process unnecessarily and then cause further more frustration on the ground. We seem to have diagnosed it very well. We seem to be on the right path. And I think we need to now get to the, to the end of the process. So that because it's then that people will start to see the fruits of all these discussions. I'm happy with the discussion. Colleagues, I think your contributions, I'm sorry that at times I was trying to constrain you a bit, but the gist of what you were saying was recorded. Both the DM and the DG have correctly articulated on them, and I don't think there would be any complaint. I think we are all clear as to where we are going. DM, we are left with 2 minutes. You had good 2 hours to deal with these matters. I'm happy. I can discharge you now from the platform. But of course, when you think it's okay for you to leave, let me say you are welcome to do so. Thank you very much, DM. Thank you very much, DJ. Please. DM, your part short.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, once again, thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your advice and your sharp eye for the weaknesses that need to be attended to by the department and the ministry. We do undertake to work very hard to bring about an improvement in the environment around military veterans. We do actually, promise that you will, soon
I think, see the fruit of your long deliberations around these issues of military veterans. With that said, Chair, once again, thank you very much.
No, sir. Say no hamburger, say you must say in hamburger, DM and the DG.
Thank you.
We can then move to the next item. Lekwase asked to be excused at 12. I've granted her because she has another important matter to attend to. All right, colleagues, now let's consider the report. This is the report of the oversight visit to the to Gauteng, and that was led by Comrade Thabo. Sorry, Honorable Thabo Motle. So I expect Thabo and the team to lead on this. Peter, please flight the thing and you talk to us. I'm not too sure if it's going to be Peter or Willem, but one of the two.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. I'll be doing the presentation, Chair.
You'll be doing it. Sharp. Okay. I welcome you to do so.
Chair, is the presentation clear?
The screen is still black, pitch black, but it's uploading. Not yet. Oh, there it is. Now I can see the presentation, Peter.
Thank you, Chair, members. As you are aware, this report is around 7 pages long. Chair, and with your permission, I will only highlight certain aspects, given that members were on the oversight visit, as well as us having distributed the document. This is basically a collaborative effort between myself, Brian, and Guillaume. Chair, in the first section, we just introducing introduction, saying there where we went, and then the second one, we're just saying what was the primary aim, is that was to acquaint the committees of the conditions and the challenge experience, as well as to facilitate inputs and insights to enhance its oversight function. Next is the members that went on the oversight visit, Mr. Mutle, the delegation leader, and then the support staff. Next, the top of the next page is all the officials that were involved. 1.3 is the program. First, we went to Girotech, and then to Centurion. And after that, we went to the Nels Littleton campus. On Friday, we went to the Special Forces School in Murray Hill, and we concluded with the visit to the Department of Military Veterans Headquarters. So if we look at point two there, say, the oversight visit to Armed Corps facilities, we started off at Girotech, and then we were welcomed there by the chairperson of the board, Dr. Philip Dexter, as well as the CEO, and then with a presentation by Dr. Makaza. The first facility that we visited was the Girotech test facility, which is a multidisciplinary organization providing accredited independent test and evaluation services. Next are some of the income generating divisions, the two support divisions, and then they listed the various challenges. And then that was followed by the observations by and questions by members. And the first question was whether other state entities are also using the facility. The answer was yes, but not clearly not enough. The second question related to how the market competitiveness is maintained. And they say that they do make it available to various facilities and other institutions, but obviously not enough given that they are still struggling to be competitive. The next question related to whether any of the South African defense industries companies are using Girotech, and that was responded in the positive. There was a question about the land, not all the land on the facility being utilized, and if they could, and if they had the funds, they would have expanded on that. The next question related to their engagement with the metropolitan municipalities. They are in discussion with some of them, but they are saying they should actually extend it further. A problem that we've also encountered in the Special Forces School and during our oversight visits is the land occupation around Geotech. And then the questions asked what they were doing about it. The next one was whether the South African Police Service are using the facility, and say yes, they are using it for the VIP training, but there is a lot of scope to extend it further. Next, Dr. Makaza then discussed the DERIS, the Defense Evaluation and Research Institute. The first one was the Pro-Technic Laboratories, and this is basically where they conduct project work in the field of chemical and biological defense. They discussed the successes, the challenges, mitigation, and the next DERI was the ergonomics technology. They are basically providing comprehensive service in ergonomics, occupational health and safety, both locally and as well abroad. The next one was the HAZMAT, Hazardous Materials Protective Systems. They basically manufacture and market a comprehensive range of respiratory products, and they've also then been supplying full face masks, chemical and biologic warfare filters, etc. to the Department of Defense. The next one was Flamengo, it's Fluid Mechanical Engineering Group. It's basically managing modeling and simulation capability for the DOD. And then there were observations by the committee members. And the first question was whether there's cooperation and competition between Arms Corps and the CSR and Danielle. And I said that many times they are mostly working together, but that obviously Arms Corps is focusing on the military. The next one related to Ergotech, especially with regards to the problems that we've also noted with the boots. And they said, yes, they are assisting them, but at the end of the day, they can only provide guidelines for the department to purchase these products. Next, also, they say they also assist them with recommendations or specifications for the type of boots to be used. But at the end of the day, it is not them producing it. They have to go out and manufacture. The next question was concerned by one of the members that given that Ergotech, for instance, is working with the confidential information of members of the Defense Force, whether this information is being kept confidential. And they stress that indeed they are keeping it confidential and that all the scientists are being vetted. With regards to pyrotechnic, the question asked was to what extent the chemical and biological warfare is still a threat and whether this capability is still justified. And the response was that yes, it is justified because it's basically a unique capabilities and a skill set in the entity. And it speaks to the sovereignty and strategic independence of the country. The next question related to some of the reasons as to why they are losing scarce skills. And they said that the scientists are in demand and sometimes they feel they get poached by entities such as PRASA and Transnet and the private sector. Next, we went then to on a site visit to the Nell Littleton campus. We went there to a hangar and where we saw where the Badger infantry vehicle is basically assembled. We then had a briefing by some of the engineers and the personnel involved in Project Ufaista. They've then shown us various components of the Badger and told us that it takes about 1,200 hours to complete a single system. And then they've showed us there were about 15 Badgers system that have gone through the assembly stage and are partly complete and operational. We also had to look at the training simulators where the drivers are getting training on this. And then we also had to look at the parts storage facility, where some of the spares and components for the batches are stored. And the committee was then informed that the parts have been in storage in excess of 5 years. Next was a presentation by DLS, the Nell Land System. First, they just looked at the manpower and how that actually decreased from May 2020 from 476 in the manpower. And to December 21, there were around 263 engineers, scientists left, and with a reduction of 213 since May 2020. Next, they just listed the business risk and also what the mitigation was, and they gave us an overview of Project Ufaista. And then under question on the development schedule, they also indicated to us what they can do. For instance, with the five budget variants, they said with the section variant, Arms Corps is still doing internal processes, which in fact on the conclusion of other barriers. So the position paper has been with Arms Corps since March 2021. The fire support the variant, they said they will take about 3 to 5 months. Missile variant, 14 to 18 months to complete. The command variant, 8 to 12 months. And the mortar variant, between 10 and 14 months. And they explained to us the product production phase overview, and then the capability to deliver. But more importantly was why they think that they should actually continue with Project Hoefijzer. Firstly said, the South African Army is to support the South African Army to fulfill its constitutional mandate through deployal capability, to reposition South Africa in the world as a force to be reckoned with in the defense sector, sustainability of the NEL capability base to support SANDF maintenance of its fleet and major contracts, the already developed level of ballistic protection, mobility and firepower already far exceed that of the aging RATO, and upgrading of the RATO as an alternative will face major obsolete issues, making it a lengthy and expensive alternative. And then next was retention and creation of jobs and stimulation of the economy, and enhancement of skills in science, defense, technology, and engineering and maths, and then the sustainability of local defense sector and the establishment of the BBBE suppliers. The way forward, they explained to us that there need to be a meeting between the NEL CEO, Arms Corps CEO, and the Secretary for Defense to advise on moving the program forward. Arms Corps then was given opportunity to respond to the presentation of the NEL, and then the acquisition and supply chain management manager, Mr. Tefo, he responded and he said, in a letter in 2018, the NEL noted that they are unable to meet all the specifications of the project which is the contract. Subsequently, after a number of occasions, there was a proposal to move forward, but some capability gaps remain. It was also agreed by both Arms Corps and the NEL that phase one has not been completed, and the challenges remain include the fact that a 30mm gun was not fully developed, that the gun's accuracy remained a problem, and the smoke detectors did not work effectively. And the NEL is therefore not able to deliver on Project Hoefijzer according to timelines and system requirements. Then there were various questions and observations by the members, and the first one related to why the NEL was actually unable to finalize the project specification. And then the NEL CEO explained to us that in the past, some decisions were taken on Hoefijzer that were outside the scope of the project. And then there are various other explanations that they gave to us. So if I can move over to the oversight visit to the Special Forces School on Friday morning, the 22nd of April. The presentation there was led by Colonel Jerry Mogorossi, the Brigade's Logistics Senior Staff Officer, in the absence of the General Officer Commanding, who was attending another function. His presentation basically covered the strategic profile, the mandate, vision and mission, their role and function, the state of the infrastructure and facilities, again, the encroachment of the informal settlements, and also the issue of land claims, and their serious infrastructure and living accommodation challenges, the road infrastructure, and as well as the encroachment, which also poses a security risk to the bases. And then there was a critical success factor, and basically they are planning to build a state-of-the-art facility. The strategic and administrative challenges were also listed, and then there were observations and questions by members. And the first question then relates to the state of the equipment and the kind of equipment that they require, given that some of these deal with intelligence or confidential information. And then also a question around the air support that they require. We all know the problems that the South African Air Force is having with the flying hours. Then also they wanted to know what they actually been doing with regards to the problems in relation to accommodation. And then the committee also needs to be prioritized and the kind of intervention that's required. So there must be a discussion between the committee and the SANDF and the Special Forces, what is required and what should be done. And then the issues of water and electricity and the land claims should be addressed. They were also asked whether there's actually a multi-party platform, given that there are various departments, entities, municipalities involved. And given their restricted budget allocation and how it impacts on the activities, we asked them, you know, what can they actually do with what they have? There were also problems expressed with regards to the supply chain management, the procurement challenges, and also what they've been doing to address the electricity and the water supply challenges, and then also with regards to the informal settlement and given the challenges that they have, that their water is being intercepted by the local communities there. And there are also questions around the land invasions and the military facilities across the board, and also whether this plan to expand or build a state-of-art facility at the school, whether it's actually been approved by the military council. And then lastly, after the presentation, we went to the urban fighting facility. We had a look at that. And then after that, we went to the four reserve vehicle park, where we also saw where the electric cables have been stolen along the fence of the VVRP. And then the oversight visit to the DMV headquarters. This is the last part of the oversight visit, the Friday afternoon. We were welcomed there by the DG, and then there was a presentation about the headquarters, and especially related to the lease that expired already in November 2018 and has since been leased on a month-to-month basis. Also with regards to provincial officers, how they are actually being capacitated, and also information about the expiry and the renewal of the various lease agreements. There was also a reference to the call center, and they said that they basically have an agreement, a service level agreement with CETA that's actually assisting them to develop this. And then questions for the DMV is the first question was whether the department is actually enjoying legal protection if they do not provide the 11 benefits as provided in the Military Veterans Act. We had no clear response to that. The second question related to the whether the housing benefits actually include the assistance with the removal of asbestos, and the response was there basically in the negative. The next one is that they should actually assist the military veterans to access the military the medical benefits, and we know what they told us before, that they are trying their level best to do that and ease and smooth the access to medical facilities. And then there was a school concern raised about a school benefit to the school fees that are being paid, and especially for instance in the case of disabled children. And the next one just related to the continued lack of progress to clean and finalize the military veteran database. Once again, this concern was expressed, and we've heard today that they are going around the country with the verification process with the presidential task team. And then pertinent questions were also asked around the fact that the headquarters lease had expired at the end of November 2018. And it was asked why it's now being done on a rental basis, because obviously this is a lot more than if you have a fixed rent agreement. The next one was then also asked who is actually the owner of the building. It was indicated that it's being owned by NMI Group Limited. And then there was a question of access to the DMV headquarters, because they've raised concerns that members of the public can basically just walk into the building. The next one was also around the vacant senior management positions, and we've heard that they are busy dealing with that. And then soon, hopefully, this disciplinary process will be completed. The next one related to the building not being secured, as it poses a security risk both to the employees and the visitors there, and we wanted to know what the impact was actually on the core business of the department. The last one related to the functioning of the call center, and the question was whether it's fully staffed and operated properly to assist military veterans with queries. Okay, the last part is just the recommendations or the proposed recommendations by the committee. And the first one was about the lack of adequate military uniform and boots. And then the committee recommends that the DOD calculated requirements in this regard and shift funds in the 2022 adjustment budget to address the problem. The DOD should report back to the committee during deliberations on the adjusted budget for 2022-23. And Armed Corps Economic Division should also be consulted to ensure the appropriate uniform and footwear are procured for the SANDF. The next one, related to the sweating of assets, and we've heard last week what the minister had to say about this, the first one to put it on hold, so I'll pass that one, Chair. With regards to the NEL project Hoefeister, the committee observed a disjuncture between the views of Arms Corps NEL and the prospects, and so the committee then recommended urgent engagement between Arms Corps, the NEL, and the SANDF on the future of the project. Arms Corps should report back to the committee in writing, not later than 21 July 22, on the outcome of such engagements and the way forward with the project. With regard to Special Forces Brigade and the school, the first one was the impact of the human settles around the military base, and the committee then recommended that the DOD and other relevant departments work together to find a lasting solution to land invasions around military bases. The DOD should also provide updates in its annual report, starting with the 21-22 annual report, on progress in this regard with a detailed breakdown of affected areas and relevant engagement to address the matter. The next one related to areas of the SANDF being subjected to a land claim process. And then recommendation is that the DOD should, in subsequent annual reports, provide a more detailed breakdown of the specific bases and military areas under land claim and the progress on this specific claim. The next one related to the special equipment requirements by the special forces, where the committee recommended an engagement between the DOD, Department of Trade and Industry, National Treasury, and the establishment of a permanent, reasonable departure or special dispensation for foreign procurement of specialized equipment unique to the special force environment. The DOD should prioritize this engagement and provide feedback on its outcome to the committee during deliberations on the adjusted budget for 2022. The next one related to the non-availability of water and electricity at several military bases, and the committee recommends the urgent intervention from the DOD, ESCOM, and the City of Tshwane to address this matter. The DOD should report in writing to the committee on progress in this regard no later than 2 months after the adoption of this report. Should a permanent solution to the repair of electricity lines not be possible, the DOD should consider the use of solar and or other power generation as an alternative means to supply the units in the area. The next one is that the committee also recommended that in order to process the issues of the Special Forces Brigade, the committee should convene a close meeting with the senior management of the DOD to deal with the challenges faced by Special Forces. With regards to the DMV headquarters, firstly, that the committee recommends that DMV should prioritize the delivery of medical benefits to military veterans, as members continue to receive complaints in this regard. It was also stressed that the bursaries for school fees should be announced, especially in the case of disabled children, as challenges in this regard from DMV side further complicate an already challenging situation. The second one is that the DMV should, during its third quarterly meeting with the committee, report specifically on the DMV headquarters lease, and in particular, what they have done to address the situation as the first lease has expired in November 2018. They should also report on all leases for provincial offices and also whether these offices are functional and fully staffed. They should explain what they are doing in the interim to make sure that DMV headquarters are more secure given the security risks that the building poses. And lastly, the DMV was encouraged to further enhance the call center and actively improve awareness of the call center amongst military veterans, given the reported challenge to access the DMV headquarters and provincial offices. Progress on the finalization and improvement of the call center and the integrated data management system should be reported to the committee during the third quarterly meeting. Lastly, Chair, the committee just expressed its gratitude to all the personnel from Arms Corps, NEL, the Special Forces School, as well as DMV headquarters for their cooperation and sharing the challenges with the committee in an open and transparent manner. and the committee also extends appreciation to members of parliament and the committee support staff who made this oversight visit possible and ensure that it was successful. Thank you, Chair.
Well, look, thank you very much for the job well done. Daniel, you've done very well. I convey that to you and the team that you are working with. All right, colleagues, I present this report to you. Let me just check if there are any corrections or misrepresentations that you may want to be dealt with before I move it for adoption, or I present it for adoption or acceptance. Mr. Murray, if you hand it up.
Chairperson, it's again a fantastic report. There are just two matters that I was wondering whether one can add that to the way forward. The one was something that was forthcoming from Bullet under 7.3 Special Forces Brigade, the second last bullet that deals with the electricity, water, and and the extreme conditions and the concerns that we had. Whether we can recommend or whether we can request the Department of Defense to give us feedback on how the not availability of electricity is affecting the storage of our vehicles and equipment. Because if they are not kept in a rapid response condition, it might impact on our defense readiness. Because my knowledge is that those stores at Valmansdal and other places as well, but specifically Valmansdal where there's a concern, the vehicles and the equipment is stored under an ideal climatical condition, that they don't need to be serviced before they are rapidly employed and utilized. But if there are not electricity that can basically power that system to make sure that might impact heavily on our readiness. So if we can just maybe add that, I'll be appreciative. And then the second one on the NEL and Arms Corps. We have talked about that many times, about the future of the NEL. Although it is only mentioned here, you know, the future of the NEL must be sorted out. But I think the one thing that we have talked about is, you know, that the NEL should come back to the Department of Defense. And that is not necessarily in the report in so many words. And I'm just wondering whether we can embark on a process, because quite clearly the Minister of Public Enterprises has got a total different view than the Minister of Defense, and the NEL has got a different view than Arms Corps, and eventually it's the Department of Defense and the SNDF that is basically biting the bullet. And somehow, I was just wondering whether we can start with a process to see whether which divisions of the NEL we essentially require, and that can be moved or integrated with Arms Corps, as we've mentioned in the past. It's not explicitly like that in the report, and I was just wondering whether we can be more brave in identifying that as a discussion point taking forward.
Will we not be encroaching with the executive function? Assuming what you take from DINEL to Arms Corps is key for the survival of DINEL, at least in the meantime. Will it that not be fatal? I don't know, but I don't know. They were discussing the thing. And the two issues are raising. It's one, the conditions under which those vehicles are kept, whether they require electricity, and then the second one is this issue that you are raising. Let me hear what other members have to say. Remember, we're discussing your findings, colleagues. I cannot see the thing. Please comment, colleagues. We're discussing the findings and what you are recommending.
Yeah.
Thabo, is this your hand?
No, Chair. But I can comment. I think the report has been well drafted and captured issues as they developed in those engagements that we had with various entities. And for me, I'm not sure on the issue that Honorable Murray just deposited now. Of course, we have raised our concern quite a number of times on the issue of denial. And we have given them, I think it's part of our recommendation that they must both denial DOD and AMSCO. Out of what they've presented to us, they must come back and report to us somewhere. I think it's next month or this month. We have given them 3 months on particularly on the status of Project Blue Face there. How are they intending to go about it? Taking into consideration that it is never our intention or our wish that Dinel must just collapse in the interest of DOD Project Blue Face there, but a formidable solution should be sought. That would not contribute to the demise or ultimately liquidation of DINEL, because we still need those capabilities. We must put our energies, our heads together, and see how best can we save DINEL, taking into consideration that part of our view is that DINEL is dislocated. It must be under DOD. If possible, those capabilities can be taken back to AMSCO, because I'm told previously AMSCO was also responsible for production, not only acquisition only. So those are the discussions that we can engage on at the later stage. But for now, the report, I think, has captured our findings and recommendation very well.
Thank you. Can I hear any other comment? Colleagues, please shout.
Chairperson, can I just respond to Honorable Mutle?
Yes, just hold. Let me just check if there's any other comment. I'll come back to Mr. Murray. Is there any other comment, colleagues? Please shout if you because I cannot see your hand on this side. Okay, doesn't look like there's any other hand. Mr. Murray, you wanted to comment?
Yeah, I think what Honorable Mutle said about DINEL and Arms Corps is absolutely 100% in line with my concerns. Yes, we can wait for the 21st of July when they need to report back to us. But I think it's as long as we as a committee just identify that and say that, you know, somewhere along the line, we will have to address this if it's not coming forward fast enough, because otherwise we might lose the capabilities of DINEL. Just on your response, whether we're encroaching on the executive, no, I don't think so. I think it's not a prescription to them. It is an initiative by us to look at the at the defense capabilities and how things are affecting the SANDF going forward. So because we don't need to encroach on the executive, but we need to do our work. So I'm happy with that part. The first part that you have mentioned is not just about the electricity, but it's just how the conditions under which those vehicles are stored, and the lack of electricity, how that is affecting the defense readiness of those vehicles and equipment. And I think a report back on that will obviously put us into a position and see how severe the electricity deficit or the lack of electricity is in Valmandsdal, and what we need to do. It might be in our best interest to invest in generators to make sure that those storage facilities at least are kept at the optimum climatical situation, so that we don't lose that or must spend an enormous lot of money on maintaining them in terms of defense readiness. So
okay.
So yeah.
So we'll express that as a concern.
Yeah, and just required a request then maybe to give us feedback at one stage about the conditions of those vehicles where there's no electricity, because it's
and that at some point they must give us feedback on the conditions of those vehicles.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
I noted that, Mr. Daniels.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. I've got it, Chair.
Yeah, but on the status of Denel, I think let's leave it at where Thabo is leaving it.
Yeah, Mr. That's why I said, as long as we just identify that going forward that we...
No, we'll discuss that going forward. No, that's fine. That's fine.
With that, I will propose for the acceptance of the report.
You propose for the acceptance. All right. Thabo has seconded it. Thabo? Agreed?
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, I've presented the report to you, and Mr. Mare moved it, and Honorable Mare moved it, Honorable Mutle seconded it. That, therefore, it means that our report is adopted, and for onward transmission to Parliament. All right? Colleagues, thank you very much for the deliberations. All right, Thabo, thank you very much for standing in for me when I was unable to do so. Thank you so much. All right, colleagues, can we then move to the next item? The minutes. Mr. Shenembe, you want to say something?
Why, Chairperson, because you are still showing, the minutes, and you want me to say something. Why can't you wait?
I saw your thing in the screen. I'm sorry. All right. Brian, you left this CV. Maybe when you draft the minutes, you think of your CV a lot. Yeah.
My apologies.
All right. So, colleagues, these are the minutes of the 25th of May, 22. Discussing progress in relation to DOD cases of fraud and corruption and consequence management. And then we looked at the 2021 report on the annual performance of the committee, and we adopted the minutes. Right, this was the attendance, colleagues. Let's pay attention to the minutes. Let's go down. Page 3, page 4, page 5. Police, are there any corrections? All right. Are there any corrections that you want to effect from page 1 to the last page? All right. It doesn't look like there's any correction. Colleagues, I now present the minutes for adoption.
I move chair for adoption.
Honorable Musa moves for adoption. Chelembe seconds. Colleagues, thank you very much. The minutes are adopted. Brian, thank you very much once again for the good work. All right. Colleagues, I think we have come to the end. Are we not at the end of the meeting, Brian?
Indeed, we are, sir.
Okay, it's 22:01. At 1 o'clock, I will be attending a meeting of the chairs of the committees. Colleagues, thank you very much for attendance. It was a really productive meeting today. And I appreciate your attendance and your participation until we meet again. Thanks to the support team. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.